sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The snap and the spot. The right-legged kick. It's blocked. It's blocked in the middle of the line. Cassius Marsh, it appeared, came breaking through from the Patriots. And they deny the Falcons.
We got a chance, boys. We got a chance tonight. They came to play.
Headline from the Washington Post. Today's Washington Post. I consider that a national news source. It says, more Patriots drama. A former player rips Bill Belichick as Tom Brady visits Monaco. That's the summary of the Patriots weekend. Brady was in Monaco, which we knew was going to happen, throwing passes off a boat.
A big boat.
To a race car driver who was on another boat, a smaller boat.
And this is how he got on. Throw number one. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Sounds fancy.
He nailed it. Brady completes the pass. He nailed it.
God, so you're over there.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Yes,
are you the American football person?
He completed that pass to the winner of the Monaco Grand Prix. But that had happened on Saturday before the race, right? So that was prior to the race? Is that how that all went down?
Yeah.
That's my understanding of it. Nailed it. So that's what was going on over there. You got Brady on what is clearly a promotional business trip for Tag Heuer.
And Red Bull.
He's got a Red Bull deal?
I guess so now. Let's term that. Tag Heuer and Hauer or whatever.
No, there's no chance he has a Red Bull deal.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like his type of thing.
Right.
Okay, now Zoe says he doesn't have
I just read some of the stuff in the articles, and it was Tag Heuer and Red Bull.
He starts holding out from camp, and he starts promoting Red Bull, then he's really full of crap.
Is this guy, I think the driver is the Red Bull driver, the guy that won it.
Well,
so that may be a combo.
Tag
Heuer
and Red Bull have a partnership together.
Okay.
Right?
But Tom's
isn't
worn
that
tag.
What it is?
Whatever. Brady was on the Tag Heuer boat.
They sell a Red Bull like watch or something. There's something to that effect. I don't know what it is. But I get what you're saying. Red Bull was part of the promotional marketing of the weekend.
That's nice boats.
His Tag Heuer involvement. He was wearing all white. Had like some sort of net shirt on.
Sweater.
That's what he was doing.
Where did you even find that sweater around here? He was off doing business.
Meanwhile, you've got Cassius Marsh, who now is with the 49ers, who described his time with the Patriots as nothing fun and said that he considered not playing football because he hated it that much. San Francisco Chronicle had the story saying, they asked me to do a bunch of stuff that I had never done, covering running backs and receivers and basically almost never rushing the passer, which is what I did playing defensive line. They don't have fun there. There's nothing fun about it. There's nothing happy about it. I didn't enjoy any of my time there. You know what I'm saying? It made me, for the first time in my life, think about not playing football because I hated it that much.
Oh.
Okay. So, playing for the Patriots is not fun, according to Cassius Marsh. Your thoughts on the not fun part of it?
As soon as I hear Cassius Marsh's name, I know Jim played the clip there. I can totally forget about him blocking a kick against Atlanta. And I just remember just him trying to cover running backs in space, and it was a nightmare. The Tyreek Hill once, the one that stood out, you know, from the Kansas City game. I think they gave up a 5th and 7th to get him and make that trade. It happened quickly at the end of camp. He was gone pretty quickly, too. So whatever he didn't like about them asking him to do, you know, they didn't really see eye to eye, and I think they cut bait quick.
Wait a minute, hold on. About that part, about getting waived, he said, quote, I confronted Belichick about all the things that were going on. I won't get into detail, but it was BS things they were doing. I just wasn't a fan. And so I basically, without asking to get cut, I kind of asked to get cut. I had confidence that I would have an opportunity elsewhere and I would take advantage of it.
You put yourself on the radar and you probably did things to make yourself get cut.
Cassius Marsh, mission accomplished there, buddy.
There you go.
That's the one productive thing you did set out to do and accomplished here. This would mean something to me, Zoe, if it came from someone who was a better player.
Like a Chris Long. You see, Chris Long said, I didn't like the role that I'm playing in and I want to move on.
Okay, but that was a football thing that he was talking. He didn't complain. He said, I knew how they wanted to use me, and I wanted to. I didn't love the role, so I looked for an opportunity elsewhere. There was no hard feelings.
No.
There was no bitching and complaining like Cassius Marsh is doing. Again, I would want to kind of dig in on this. If it were anybody but like
That's
Cassius Marsh.
Right. Well, what made it not fun? You getting yelled at because you're out of position? I don't know. Maybe you didn't like the fact you guys didn't go bowling on Thursdays and it wasn't a Pete Carroll environment. See, I had the Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick environment. I had the Pete Carroll one. Two totally different environments. One's at ease and one isn't. I'm sure the current one isn't at ease. Very demanding. Many players have talked about it. Shane McClellan just put some stuff out, too. I had a blast there. Didn't end the way I wanted it then, but I had a blast there. I mean, to your point, it's Cassius freaking Marsh.
If he didn't suck, I'd be like, oh, this is interesting.
Like if Deion Lewis came out and said,
a suckbag player, didn't do his job, and then got cut because of it? Oh, okay. And he's pissed at Bill Belichick? Gee, who am I going to side with there?
Like Danny Amendola.
Bill Belichick or Cassius freaking Marsh?
Like Danny Amendola. Damn right I'm going to Miami because the environment sucked there. No, he didn't say that. He said, Bill's a bitch to play for, but I tell you what, it made me a better player. And we were ready to go every Sunday. Made me the better player. You hate it when you're doing it, but you knew it, that you were doing it for the right reasons. See, it's almost like he wanted to say, but you knew it. If Deion Lewis said it, I was never signing back there. I hated it there. None of these guys said that. Here's your one outlet. You know what he reminded me of when I first heard this? Monty Beisel. Remember Monty Beisel?
And he had the same year as Chad Brown. Chad Brown, Monty Beisel.
Cut on his hand, and you don't understand it. You know, we don't put out the right injury reports. Yeah, that didn't end well. You were the guy 6 yards deep playing middle linebacker.
Again,
I had no instincts.
Monty, I'd want to listen to you if you didn't suck.
Right.
I'd want to hear
The two biggest people to speak out, or really three, Adalys Thomas, too, Sean Springs, Monty Beisel, this guy.
Yeah, except, again, Adalys Thomas, good player when he was on. But he was clearly in the wrong.
Had issues.
He was clearly in the wrong.
There aren't many of them.
I'm just saying, tell me it's drama when it's a decent player.
My point here, too, is if it's such a bad environment, and they've had so many players come through here. There's a couple constants that remain throughout the years. It's Brady, Belichick, Gostkowski.
I mean, don't get me wrong, though. This is juicy drama when you've got a player calling out Bill Belichick, right, for talk radio.
Yeah, I wouldn't have called him out.
It only works if it's a good player.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna.
Could you check how many calls deep where we have people want to talk? Do you have people want to talk about Cassius Marsh?
Because they wanted you to work.
Check your call screener here. Do we have any calls, people wanting to talk Cassius Marsh?
Well, no, not here, but I would never expect it.
I didn't think so. He had some interesting takes on Garoppolo, too. Jimmy diced the defense up.
He did. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's got an axe to grind.
He's a competitor. He's a hard
worker.
He's
grinding that axe.
He's going to be great.
Garoppolo's a better athlete than Brady, which is probably true. What does that mean?
Yeah, we all knew that, right?
Brady's 40.
Yeah.
He's in his 40s now. Garoppolo's still young. Yeah, I could see that. Great. I don't know. I just, I get into the story if he were better.
Okay, hold on.
He's not.
Here. Real quick.
What?
My buddy, Bob Sosie. Pulling it up.
Whoops.
So Bob tweeted out something. He talked to Marsh in November.
Oh, so did Jeff Howe. So did a bunch of guys. He loved it here.
Bob Sosie. Here we go. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, we'll do it on the other side.
Yeah, let's do that. Look that up. All right.
Player's contradicting himself, so thank you.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, so give us that Cassius Marsh quote from Sosi.
All righty, here we go. So about a month after he joined the Patriots, my buddy Bob Sosi sat down with Cassius Marsh, and he appeared on a Patriots.com interview. Actually has it up right here on the podcast. We'll read some of the snippets from it. While describing a difficult transition, soft-spoken Marsh said that there's something a little bit different here when you lose and when you win. It's like, that's great. We just won, but now we got to move on. We got to go win another. It's a really great culture. It's a great culture here. Winning is always the most important thing in my book. The organization does a great job of keeping the guys really focused. The players here, we bond together. We go through it together. I feel blessed to be all a part of it. And he took some shots here on the way out.
Here's Jeff Howe's quote from November.
Now, Jeff Howe did the same thing. Talk to him. Go ahead.
Absolutely. It's a great thing to know exactly what you're going to get. Coaches tell you what they expect from you, what your role is, and it's something I appreciate about this place.
Pretty black and white, cut and dry.
Yeah,
here it is.
It just feels like, why did he go over the top then?
You know where you stand.
If it were a better player, it would add to the drama.
And if it were a player that told you something different at the beginning, we would give it more credence. This is a total flip onto what you told the team of that or reporters that you were pretty happy to be here. Great culture. Great culture.
But it could also be said that he was just saying the right things at the time to be saying the right things.
Then don't do the interview. Then don't put it in print to where we can look back and call you a liar or a contradictor.
Well, as Hardy likes to say, were you lying to me then or are you lying to me now?
Mm.
Right?
Mm? That's a good question.
It's a fair question.
It's a very fair question.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
It's fair. 617-779-0985. We've got Celtics to talk about. We've got the Red Sox and their moves over the weekend. And also Cassius Marsh blasting the Patriots. He then did a video, a follow-up on Instagram, telling Patriots fans they only hear what they want to hear. And he was obviously sensitive to the reaction that the story got, that he did. You said your piece. People are not going to like what you said. Move on.
Don't remember much about him. A couple plays here and there.
And I remember him not being very good.
Yeah.
I mean, the Patriots did give up a pick to get the guy. They traded
two, a fifth and a seventh.
Is that what it was?
A fifth and a seventh. I thought a fifth and a seventh.
They traded for him. They thought he could play.
What, 8 weeks of him? 10 weeks of him?
Yeah.
Bad deal. That one didn't work out for them.
I don't know how the confrontation. He said he confronted Belichick. I don't know how that came. How that came to be.
I think that confrontation went, Jim. Yeah. Coach, I'd like to speak to you. Sure, come on in.
I'm sure those meetings happen all the time. But just his story. I wanted to get cut. I wanted to get waived, so I asked to be waived without asking. So you basically said your plan going in was to cause a problem?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just go in and say, I want to get cut?
Yeah, if you had such a great meeting and you knew where you stood, and he kind of told you where you stood. If you don't like where you stood, why don't you ask to be released?
He admits that he shot his way out of town. Maybe that's the only way he felt he could get released.
Like a Deion Branch.
Deion Branch shot his way out of town?
He kind of did. Wanted the money, right? Remember? But not the same type of player as Deion Branch. Deion Branch coming off an MVP of a Super Bowl. A little bit different.
When we left here on Friday, we had not yet heard from Dave Dombrowski on Hanley Ramirez.
Yeah.
Speaking of guys that are no longer in town.
Speaking of, are you lying to me now or are you lying to me later?
Right. Well, yeah. Dave Dombrowski on Friday did something that I didn't see coming, and Zoe, you didn't see coming.
I was between exit 20 and exit 19 on 495 heading south.
Yep. Where you were.
I remember the spot where I was because I almost pulled over to text you guys. Because I almost drove off the road when I heard it.
He put it on his manager.
Was heading out for a drive, for a run?
Yeah. I talked to Alex about yesterday, Alex Cora. We were prepared to maybe go in a different direction with our move.
Hold on, we got to pause. Did you see him start of that?
Yeah.
I was talking to Alex Cora.
Alex Cora.
Wait, what other Alex could you have been talking to? Is there another Alex?
Alex Rodriguez.
I love the detail. Again, we love the details with this guy.
Their sideline reporter
what
named
were you
Alex?
Doing? Are you going out for a run?
Well, I'm in shape. You see, I'm in shape, so I was going for a run.
I was going for a run. It was after I had my cup of coffee at the Dunkin'.
Just comb my hair, put it in a Brill.
You conducted an informal poll among the friends at Dunkin'.
Little dabble, do you?
I talked to Alex about yesterday, Alex Cora, we were prepared to maybe go in a different direction with our move. He called me. It was about 11:30 in the morning. I was getting ready to go for a run. And Alex says, I've got a thought for you about what we're doing. And he said, this is a move that I would like to make. I recommend making. Ultimately, it comes into my final decision. But he said, I really want to play Mitch Moreland more. He's a good player. He's played very well for us. I don't think that Hanley is a person that sits Hanlon on the bench well. It gives us an opportunity to keep Blake Swihart and also be in a position where Blake could get some more playing time.
It was a manager's call.
It's a move I'd like to make. Like to see us make.
Do you believe him? Do you believe he's telling
that's
the truth?
It's a hell of a tag to put on someone,
for the most part?
Public. Yeah.
I think there's got to be truth in this. That's too big of a lie.
It sounds like, hey, because he said we were prepared to go in a different direction. Meaning, okay, well, who are you going to DFA? Well, when you brought him up, here's what you were going to do. You're going to do this. You were going to put Hanley on the bench. And you told Alex to go talk to him. And maybe Alex talked to him and then came back and said, here's a move I'd like to make, Dave, because the move you want to make is not going to sit well with that guy. And he went on to talk about Hanley's not the perfect guy that really would take sitting, easily. Maybe something happened.
It's a good question.
You know what I mean?
What was the other move? Did anyone ask that?
Do you understand that? He said we were prepared to go in a different direction.
Maybe
and Alex came in with something else.
What was the other direction?
Jim, give me the beginning of that again. He's telling you we were set to make another move, but Alex stopped us. Alex Cora. Forget that.
We were prepared to maybe go in a different direction with our move. He called me. It was about 11:30 in the morning. I was getting ready to go for a run.
Okay. Now, where there might be some stretching of the truth is, well, first of all, the whole...
They could have just sent Holt down. That would have been the easiest.
Yeah, they could have done that. But the fact that it wasn't at all discussed and Cora called out of the blue with that, like out of nowhere... Oh, I think Hanley's the move. Like, they had never laid out all the options. There wasn't a conversation the day before about all the different things they could choose to do. He just decided to call. That seems sort of strong.
I feel like this has been in the plan the whole time.
Yes.
Pedroia was coming back
partially around
this time. They were going to get rid of Hanley. And to keep Hanley trying to keep him hitting the best, they protected him by putting him in front of J.D.
Okay,
Martinez.
Let's say this in a minute.
And they kept him batting third to keep him happy, see what they can get out of him. They weren't getting much out of him. That's the move.
Can we say at a minimum that this was discussed at some point prior to the end of last week? The possibility of DF...
I'll pull up the sound, but Cora pretty much admitted that.
Yeah, I mean, this had to have been discussed at some point. He's not calling out of the blue with no one having ever discussed it, whether that be back in February, March... April, at some point, there was a discussion about, hey, this season, if Hanley kind of flunks out on us here, we might look to move on. That's on the table. We're not going to keep him around. If he doesn't bounce back from a tough year last year, I know he was good in the playoffs, but if he doesn't bounce back, we're going to look to move on in season. That had to have been discussed at some point. I don't think this is where I think it's sort of stretched. He didn't just come up out of nowhere and say, "Yeah, you know what? Let's DFA Hanley." And they're like, "Oh, okay."
We've been thinking about a lot of moves. You know, you put everything on the table. You know, Petey's coming. You see how, looking ahead, how you're going to manage the roster, how we're going to use guys. And this is something that, as you guys know, since I got to spring training, probably somebody asked me that question about how we're going to use Mitch and Hanley, how we're going to make this work. And I think it worked for a while. But obviously now, with the addition of Dustin and the versatility of the other guys, is a move that, you know, surprisingly for a lot of people, but it's a baseball move. And I do feel that we can maximize this roster.
Is there anything Pedroia and Hanley that anyone knows of? I don't know. Maybe it was just the way
no,
he said that.
I
he said,
know.
You know, with the addition of Dustin. I'm like, wait, what? Is that a problem?
But he brought it back to spring training.
Yes.
You asked me how I was going to use this. Now Dustin's back. Now it's different. When they signed Nunez, that changed everything. That's what it sounds like to me.
Nunez.
We all wonder why they signed Nunez. Why did they bring him back? Where is he going to play? Devers is playing third. Pedroia is going to play second when he comes back. You could patch it and band-aid it with Brock Holt and somebody else for a couple months if you need to.
Right.
Why'd they bring Nunez back? This was the plan all along.
Although I think they signed Nunez to play second base, even though he's not good at it.
Yeah, for 2 months.
Yeah.
But they didn't need to. They could have band-aided it if they wanted to. They had a different role in mind for Nunez, is my point.
And you're right.
That role was Hanley's role.
And you know what it is? Nunez, you could have band-aided it, and it wouldn't have been any worse than it was. Because defensively, it was bad for the 2 months. Couldn't put anybody there. Hardy has your headlines, your calls on Celtics, Red Sox, David Price, who was complaining yesterday after getting hit in the chest. I don't know what he's upset about. He's upset about something. You'll hear from him next.
Sports Hub headlines.
Alex Cora had fun watching his squad yesterday as they got the 8-3 win over the Toronto Blue Jays at Fenway Park.
It was good. It was fun to watch. Good at bats, ran the bases well. We're very aggressive. Obviously, JD with the homer and Benny's afternoon. But see, Jackie hit the ball hard again. Christian got a hit. We put pressure on them. It was a good all-around offensive game for us.
Tonight, Rick Porcello goes to the mound for the middle of the three-game set against Marco Estrada. Vegas Golden Knights took Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals 6-4 over the Washington Capitals. Game 2 once again in Las Vegas tomorrow night. It'll be Golden State versus the Cavaliers again after the Warriors beat the Rockets in Houston 101-92. Game 1 of the Finals Thursday night in Oakland. Headlines are brought to you by Spectrum, America's fastest-growing TV, internet, and voice company. Hiring field technicians. Great benefits. 17 weeks paid training. Jobs.spectrum.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Line shot against Price. He's going to go to pick it up and lob on to first to get him. Yeah, drilled by that. We'll see if he's all right. Showing no signs at the moment. He gets out of the inning with one hit.
So, you hear Price get hit? You hear the sound of it? Play it again, Jim.
Oh, yeah!
God damn! That is brutal!
Yeah.
Oh, man! You can hear it. I don't, the more I think about the stuff he said post-game, the more I don't understand this man at all. I don't pretend to understand him.
It's almost like he, in the back of his mind, he probably wanted to come out and didn't feel great from getting hit by it, but he knew, damn it, I got to stay in because they're going to kick my ass if I come out. So I'm soft.
But you know what he should have said after the game?
I'll show them.
Whine, coming off as whining and complaining, because good for him. He stayed in the game.
He said fine.
He should have said, yeah, you know, that hurt. Did you see it? That didn't feel good. But, you know, I was okay. I was okay to stay in the game.
Soft.
So, and move on.
He doesn't know how to handle it.
Oh, all right.
He just can't be honest and say, like, if I wasn't able to pitch, I would have come out. It hurt, but I could still pitch, and I'm fine.
Yes. He's confirmed everything we think about it.
And that response?
I'm soft. Didn't you hurt? No, if it would have hurt, I'm soft.
Maybe we don't talk about it. Maybe he doesn't get all the credit he deserves for answering a question like that. But the more you do that, the more people get off your case.
Yeah.
The more people don't, you know, look at the things you say and laugh and ridicule you every time. He sets himself up for this. Here it is, David Price after the game.
Did that bother you enough? Good shot maybe there?
No, me. You know, I'm the softest guy in this clubhouse. If that bothered me, I'd have been out of the game. You know, it's
who's
I'm soft.
How painful?
It wasn't painful. I'm fine. If it was painful, I'd have came out.
I don't even believe him now. You're telling me that didn't hurt?
Of course it hurt.
Even for a minute? It hurt. That hurts. There's no way that feels good.
No. I would never want anybody to get hit with a ball.
That hurts. And he stayed in the game. Good for him. He didn't let it shut him down. He threw a lot of pitches. It wasn't his best outing, but I didn't see any signs of that bringing him down or bothering him to the point where he didn't pitch well.
I think Warrior. Wow, what a Warrior! Him staying in.
Oh yeah, no one coming out of that game. I can't. I'd rather blow out there than come out. So that's where we're at.
There's another comment right there. I'd rather blow out than come out of the game.
Oh, God.
What are you saying? Your arm's going to blow out, or you would want it to blow out? Johnny followed up, too, with a good LeBron James question. Now, well, he's not soft. But I don't want... Don't forget, I am rooting for the Celtics. God forbid. I don't go to the right coffee place or cheer for the right team. Everybody gets on me.
It's not a joke. I'm soft.
Like, uber sensitive. He's everything you don't want.
Man, he took it right off the ledge, too. I mean, he was squared up. He had just finished his...
It wasn't a grazing.
And he got a direct hit. Direct hit. And I give him credit for... I mean, he was initially, like, stunned by it a little bit, but he hung with the play. He had the focus to go get the baseball...
Get the ball.
...and throw it to first. After getting drilled in the chest, I mean, I'm happy that it didn't get him in the face, because we've seen that, and that's awful. Like, you never want to see that.
So he said he hit him in the forearm and then the bicep. Didn't hit him in the chest, he said.
Well,
forearm, bicep.
Okay, but it was up in front of his chest. I mean, that's the part of the body it would have struck.
I'm curious if it was the first out of the inning and not the third out of the inning, what would have happened?
Huh.
You know, he had time to go to the dugout, kind of settle himself a little bit.
Yeah.
And then come back out. It wasn't like... middle of the inning, my arm's tingling, I had to come out of the game.
No, I'm saying he still made the play, though.
But what point is...
No, he's right.
So say his arm was tingling after the third out. He went to the dugout, and then it went away. He might have stayed in that game.
Or, to your point, of say that's the first out, they run out with the trainer and Cora, and like, hey, you know what? We're going to play it safe. We're pulling it. Let's go. You're done. Be smart about this.
That's a good point, too. Cora might have just pulled the plug on him.
But he has a moment where you look at it, you say, good for him. He hung with the play, and he stayed in the game.
He wants to be praised for staying in, but he's putting it in your face.
It's the type of moment where you want to give him praise, and then he does this after the game. Like, why are we all in trouble still?
It's cold. I can't pitch. You know, if my hand's tingling, I can't do my job. You know,
that's true.
That's it.
Oh, so you know LeBron. LeBron is not soft, right?
No, LeBron's not soft. That's the king. Yeah, I was pulling for the Celtics, so let's let that be clear.
He's miserable.
What a jerk.
Miserable.
What a jerk.
Oh, by the way.
Oh, and I want to let everybody know I was rooting for the Celtics because you all probably thought I was rooting for the Cavaliers because I hate Boston.
Was that anybody on a sports hub that said those things where and when he couldn't pitch, or was that him?
No, it was him.
That's right.
He's repeating himself.
Whether it's
play
hot,
that clip.
Whether it's cold.
Play that clip again, what he just said, and then play it next to what he did say 2 weeks ago, and they're the same thing. We didn't say that about you.
He said it.
You said that about you.
Fresh cut grass.
Why are you? Well, you're mocking us.
I'm always battling.
You said it.
Beetle, he's
it's
always
cold,
battling.
I can't pitch. You know, if my hand's tingling, I can't do my job.
Yeah, that's what you said 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Wait, so now it's a problem? If my hands are tingling, I can't pitch. You didn't pitch against the Yankees. You decided you couldn't pitch.
Oh, I can't wait for the next Yankees.
What the hell's your problem?
I can't wait for him to face the Yankees.
This is your issue, not ours. This is a you issue, David, not an us issue. That's on you. I don't understand it. I don't understand anything that happened there yesterday. So what? He's been listening to the radio, watching TV,
reading the paper?
Actually, scratch the reading the papers part, because you know those guys don't touch this stuff anymore. What's he been doing?
Does he run this phone?
He's been watching Arbella Early
Seriously.
Edition and getting fired up when they talk about him. What is he doing?
Does he look at the at mentions?
He must.
Shaughnessy brought up a great point. You're there all day. You spend six hours in the ballpark. Probably don't want to be there. It's Memorial Day, even though the weather's crap.
Don't you love how he takes it out on the beat guys, too? The guys who are there every day who don't say boo about him?
The story is...
Don't get on his case
at all. Well, he's got to do it now. He just faced the Cream Puffs. Now he faces the Astros this week. So he had to do it after yesterday's game.
Are you talking about Astro the dog with the hair?
No, or the big boys.
The Houston Astros.
Houston.
Verlander.
Well, I mean, both are a battle.
I hope he doesn't face Verlander.
Both are difficult situations. The dog because of the allergies. The baseball team because of the lineup.
Last time he was in Texas, he had the allergies. Too,
it's tough this time.
Like, he gives you this gift drama quote to write about.
Now,
Pete Abraham doesn't even touch
it. Houston plays indoors. They play indoors there. So that's always a plus.
A little scratchy. A little itchy. Get down there if I go outside.
I imagine the allergies in Arlington against the Rangers are tougher than it would be against Houston. You know, Houston's a city. It's not a lot of green space. It's downtown. You don't have all the trees.
Maybe that's why he drives that armored car. It's an allergy. It keeps the allergies out.
You think he's
got an amazing air filtration system.
You think he's allergic to cement? A lot of buildings down there, man. Houston's got a nice ballpark. Real nice ballpark.
Let's get to today's takeaways. Those are coming up next. I have something from the weekend here on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, you're going to hear it, and I think you're going to get a good laugh.
I love laughing. That's so much fun.
Hardy, maybe not so much. We'll get to that next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub. That's sweet.
Time now for the Wake Up 180 Weight Loss Takeaway of the Day. Take away your excess weight for life. The official weight loss program of your Boston Red Sox, Wake180WeightLoss.com.
Mine's from the weekend.
Oh. I probably listen, honestly.
Yeah.
To maybe 3 minutes of programming on the weekend. Up and at them early, especially on Saturday. Doing some errands before we headed down to the Cape.
You're an early riser, though?
Well, yeah, I was this day. And, this might be your takeaway?
Yeah, it's mine.
Because I think I heard the same thing, too.
I heard it, and I laughed, but I didn't know that someone else had already played it. Hardy just told me.
Oh, this has already been addressed. Already, go ahead and play it.
I didn't know it had been addressed. But
I don't care. Go ahead. Know.
Here's the end of an interview on Fine. The golf show with Hardy.
Oh,
golf
show.
Hardy show.
Congratulations on a great career, and congrats and continued success on all that you're doing. It's meant a lot to golf. It's meant a lot to me personally, and I think you're going to continue to have this impact on a lot more people.
Thank you, Gordy. It's been my pleasure. And
all right. Thank you, Gordy.
I just like how you spill your heart to him about how much he's meant.
Well, let me tell you
and
something.
The work that he does, and then
this guy,
he repays you with a Gordy.
Yeah. Since you want to goof on me, and he, by the way, he emailed me right away. He's like, I called you Gordy at the end of the interview. Sorry, I'm like, don't worry about it. Felger calls people by the wrong name all the time. This golf pro guy's name is Bob Beach. He's at Braintree Municipal.
Is Terry
retiring? Now. Retiring yes. From it is like city gig. He's going to keep teaching though, but he has been like a top instructor in the country for like years and years and years. Does a lot with challenged golfers, right? Whether, you know, you're on the autism spectrum. Turns out that golf ended up being like great for these kids, with physically challenged people. And the thing about Bob, the one thing that people knock Bob for, it's like he constantly gave it away. This guy could have been like a gazillionaire with some of his instructional methods and his ideas, but he was always like way too giving. They're like, I think next week is officially going to be like Bob Beach Week in Braintree. They're having a big dinner and a tournament for him. They're putting a plaque at the golf course. You would think the guy had like passed on, but he's still around. He's still going to be around. He's that worthy of the recognition while he's still here. So.
Legit good
Thank
guy,
you,
which
Gordy.
Is why he called.
Thank
you,
Gordy.
Right,
Very
legit
nice
good guy. I just
right.
think it's funny.
I said Felger calls people by the wrong name all the time. Don't worry about it.
That's a Felger thing.
Yeah,
but it's like the guy's not coming on the Gordy Golf Show. That's all.
It's not the Hardy Golf Show either. It's the Sports Hub Golf Club. It's bigger than any one man. Okay?
And he meant so much to you. So,
and he does. It means a lot to a lot of people.
I'm kidding.
All right, Tony Eason.
Speaking of. that's at Lowe's. Speaking of short-term memory, Ty Lue, again, questioned after another big stretch. I think this is specifically the 12-0 run at the Celtics went on. Like, what transpired there? What happened? Do you remember anything, Ty?
Down front. Ty, Mike Petralia, CLNS Media, down 35-20, right, I'm sorry, 35-23 down. Brad just said when he and his team couldn't extend the lead, he thought that was a pivotal point of the game. What did you guys do to stay in the game at that point?
I don't remember. I really don't. I mean, I know they went up 12.
I don't know. I was looking at the scoreboard. I was talking to somebody behind the bench. He checks out at times during games, and he has no recollection. Or is this just a running joke, and he's playing along? This has happened
Maybe
twice.
Maybe he just doesn't want to answer questions.
This happened twice in 1 week.
I mean, it's weird.
Hey, you were down 12, and you had this pretty damn good comeback, because they thought you were going to get your throat stepped on. Do you remember what transpired?
I don't remember.
Need that on a t-shirt. I don't remember. What do you got, Beetle?
I gave him
a party.
Well, Dan Shaughnessy today told us that he does a great JFK impersonation. And we found that difficult to believe. And boy, did he prove us wrong.
Who is that?
Dave Gosher.
Dave Gosher.
Doing that's JFK.
Great JFK.
That's pretty good. I can do that.
No, you can't. You cannot do JFK the way Gosher
any
does
Dan
JFK.
Shaughnessy imitation is like a Gilbert Godfrey one. It sounds like Dan doing an impersonation.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, you want to hear the inaugural address?
I'll hear anything.
Yeah.
January 20th, 1960.
Please.
We observe today not a victory of party, but a celebration of freedom, symbolizing an end as well as a beginning, signifying renewal as well as change. For I have sworn before you and Almighty God the same solemn oath our forebears subscribed nearly a century and three quarters ago. The world is very, very different now, for man holds in his mortal hands the power not to abolish all forms of human poverty, but all forms of human life. And yet the same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. How'd that go?
He could have said, I do a great Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. Listen to this. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. Who, you? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. Santiago's death. Blah, blah, blah. It's pretty good, huh?
Well,
like, no! You memorized a speech. It's not an impersonation.
Santiago.
Have you ever heard Gilbert Godfrey do his impersonations?
Yes!
They're fantastic. Wait, he does Andrew
Dice Clay?
That's why
they're funny.
Hickory dickory dock! The mouse went up the thing with the girl and
It doesn't sound anything like him.
How'd that go?
I feel like there were some Shaughnessy drops that could have been pulled from today's appearance on the show. I feel like there were a few in there that we may hear again.
Oh!
There are just a few things that he said.
Yeah. Okay, a few Shaughnessy-isms that came out.
What got into you? Who kidnapped the Beatles?
Hey, what'd you make of Peter's first day?
I barely know him.
Oh, Peter the intern.
Peter, the Felger-appointed intern.
Seems like a nice guy.
Beaker.
So we're going to have two separate interns all summer long?
Yeah, we're going to have an intern every day.
Chet and Beaker.
They just hired Peter. Peter's now in.
Okay.
Beaker.
All right.
I didn't even know that he was starting until was in the Slack thread yesterday.
He was sitting looking through the window. Looks like Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker.
Yeah,
Jim
Louth. We need to take a picture of our new intern and Jim Louth and side by side with a picture
put
of
it out.
Oh, Beaker and Bunsen Honeydew?
It's already on Twitter.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. I'll look for that right
done,
now.
Done and done.
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 Been there,
is
done
it
that.
A side by side?
It happened. I didn't do them in like real life.
Oh, you got to do them in real life.
Oh, I just like
otherwise, people don't know.
Right.
Hey, tomorrow we are going to be at the Baseball Tavern.
Yes.
We got a Sox day game tomorrow.
Sunny out. Come get hammered.
Yeah, do that. I mean, we're
then
all,
go to the game
for that.
And pass out because you'd be hydrated.
But day game tomorrow over at Fenway, getaway day. So you will have daytime baseball. But before that game, you will have Zolak and Bertrand at the Baseball Tavern.
That's right.
Come hang out.
Mm.
Let's do it. What
put
do
me
say?
On the roof. The roof. The roof is on fire.
Zol wants to be wherever the sun is.
Mr. Rooney, please put me on the roof.
Look at this shirt that Big Jim has on today. Look at that. Woo.
I don't even know what that means.
Thank you, Malcolm Butler. Thank you, Butler.
It says thank you, Butler, with his number.
What are you thanking him for? That's the old one from a couple years ago?
No. This was made for me by the guy that made the jersey I can't wear.
Oh.
And I'm thanking him because he helped win a Super Bowl.
Gotcha.
He's wearing his brand new thank you, Butler jersey. After he was told not to wear that other jersey.
Yeah.
That Patriots jersey. That became a problem. What's that?
Franco.
Don't talk about it. Let's move on. Felger Mazur coming up next on a re-entry Tuesday. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll see you tomorrow at the Baseball Tavern. Bye.
Yours is
mine's big.
What are you compensating for?
Mine ain't that big, though.
It's pretty big.